Without warning, two huge panels slam down in front of and behind them. The resonating thud as they hit the floor, cutting across Fisa's sudden scream of fright. "It's all right," Jinsler said reflexively, reaching out an arm to catch her around her shoulders as she half fell, half lunged against his side. Jinsler looked around, searching for some clue as to what he should do. But with the exception of the door and the control panel Bearish was still pounding on, the room was completely devoid of decoration or instrumentation. The control panel itself didn't offer much either. There were only five options for stops, marked D41, D42, D51, D52, and SC. Plus, the usual emergency buttons and a droid socket that would do them no good without a droid. There was a loud click from the control panel. Bearish jumped back, twitching as if he'd been stung.
"Hello, Ambassador Jinsler. My name is Presser, Guardian of this colony."
"Hello, Guardian," Jinsler said, trying to keep his voice calm. "This has been something of a surprise."
"I'm sure it has, and I apologize for that, but I'm sure you understand that we have to take precautions."
"Of course," Jinsler said. "May I ask what's happened to the rest of my party?"
"They're perfectly safe, at least for now. What ultimately happens to all of you, of course, is still undecided. I'd like to bring you out for a discussion, if I may."
An unpleasant thrill tingled across Jinsler's skin. Ambassador Jinsler. For a long second, panic bubbled in his throat. He wasn't a diplomat trained in negotiation. He was only an electronics tech.
"Certainly,"
Jinsler told the disembodied voice. "Just tell me what you want me to do."
"When the door opens, you will step outside. The girl who met you earlier will take you to a nearby room. I'll be waiting for you there."
"I understand," Jinsler said, glancing down at the top of Fisa's head. "What about those in here with me?"
"They'll have to wait there until we're finished."
Fisa gave a soft whimper.
"Please," she whispered. "Please, no."
"You cannot leave us here alone,"
Bearish agreed softly.
"Please, Ambassador Jinsler."
"I understand your concerns, Guardian," Jinsler said. "But my companions, they're not exactly what you'd call heroic."
"We have no need of heroes here, Ambassador. We don't need them, and we don't like them."
"Of course," Jinsler said hastily. "My point is that it's going to be a severe hardship for them to stay here alone. Besides which," he added, as inspiration finally struck, "First Steward Bearish and the other Jeroons came a long way to pay you honor for saving them from slavery to the Vagari all those years ago. I know they would very much like to be present at our discussions." There was no answer.
"Very well,"
Presser said at last.
"They may all accompany you, provided they remain silent."
With one final delicate slice of her lightsaber, Mara cut away the 20-centimeter square section of the turbolift car wall she'd been working on, leaving everything behind it untouched. The piece of metal fell inward, stopping abruptly in midair as Luke caught it in a force grip. "Okay," he said. "Let's see what we've got." "Mostly a lot of wires," Mara said, switching off her lightsaber and stepping closer to the wall. Luke moved to her side. She was right. In just the small section she'd opened up, there were no fewer than 8 wires of different colors crisscrossing their way across the gap. Wrapped pretty tightly, too. "What do you think, Luke? Should mine be on the other side?"
"Yes," Luke agreed. "Back to back always seems to work best."
"Right." Crossing to the opposite side of the car, Mara ignited her lightsaber again. With the delicacy of a surgical droid, she began to cut a second opening.
"And this will accomplish what?"
Drask asked.
"If we do it right, it'll get us out of here," Luke told him.
"And if we don't," Mara added helpfully, "at least it'll kill us quickly." Drask didn't reply.